again. Follow you into the world. Oh, meet the needs for the poor and the needy God.
Can you say amen, family? When the praises go up, the blessings come down. God has been good to us, hasn't he? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. I with you, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger just passing through. I don't sit on the board of directors with God. Just like you, I am so grateful for what he has done this past week. But I tell you, he's got a formula. And when we follow that formula, we can expect the blessings. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and what? Thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God says, where there's an appetite, he's going to bring the bread. He's going to supply the living water. And this week, you've demonstrated an appetite. I mean, who gets up before the break of day? 5:30 in the morning. And some people are driving an hour's distance or half hour distance. If we have a hunger and a thirst for his righteousness, we're going to be filled. I really appreciated the praise and testimony service that went on. And some of the things that just ring in my ear. One, it doesn't have to stop. It doesn't have to stop. Praise God. All you've got to do is keep praying, keep studying, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, and God will keep answering, keep delivering, keep giving. He will not stop. It's all up to us. The message tonight is to be continued. And exactly what it sounds like. What we've been doing, we need to continue doing it. Another testimony I heard this evening, and that is that as we draw closer to God, the trials are going to thicken. The tribulations are going to come more frequent. We're going to have more hardships. But I remind you, the purpose of the hardships is to create in us a character like Jesus Christ. The purpose of the hardship is draw us closer to God. As we feel the pain and the suffering, one of two things always happens. We either come closer to God or we go further from him. We become better or we become bitter. But we will not remain the same. Remember God's purpose. When it's so unbearable, he wants you to say to him, God, this is unbearable. Exactly. As you're going through whatever you're going through, he knows what you're going through. And all he wants you to do is reach out to him. Be it a physical problem, an emotional problem, mental, financial, in the home, on the job, at school. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter what. God just wants us to say, help me, Lord. God, I can't take this. I want to be what you want me to be. I know you designed me for better than this. Now, God, do what you've got to do to get rid of everything in my life that's not like you. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Family of God, I've been preaching for 28 years approximately. And I must say, I've had some good times with the Lord, but this week ranks as one of the highest because of your response to the Holy Spirit. A minister can go from church to church, and he could conceivably, although I don't, he could conceivably preach the same message, and he would get different results at each congregation, depending on the condition of the congregation. You have a healthy church. Anytime you want God the way you have demonstrated you want him, that's a sign of health. Now expect, once again, to be attacked. Oh yes. Expect to go through the fiery furnace. And remember this, as you go through the fiery furnace, God will be with you. Just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he will never put on you more than you can bear. The promise is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you, will not permit you, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape." And his way of escape is always the same way. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The way of escape is always capital J-E-S-U-S. There is no other way out. We must come to Jesus. To get to heaven, we've got to go through Jesus. There is no other way. Our prayers are not even acceptable to him, to God, without Jesus. He says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will do it for you." I believe the latter rain is right around the horizon. I believe the latter rain is going to fall very soon. And what I believe has happened this week is we've got some dewdrops. Yes. The song says, "There shall be showers of blessings. Send them up on us, O Lord." Now as to God we're confessing, come and now honor your word. He has promised it's coming. If we appreciate the dewdrops and we're faithful to this, what's it going to be when he just opens the windows of heaven and pours out that blessing that we won't have room enough to receive it? Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Family of God, I would just encourage you tonight. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Don't look back. Just keep running this race. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. I thank God for the testimony. I heard one tonight. Someone said they got rid of the DVDs. Understand, this is all of us. Self does not want to die. Self wants to go to heaven self's way. Self can't do it. I've had the same struggles. I love some of the temptations and the four tops and the miracles. And that was a lot of music, and I wrestle with it. Well, I really don't see anything wrong with it. They're not using any bad word. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. And then the Holy Spirit says to me very simply, "Where is Jesus in that? Where is God being honored in that?" And see, that's what we want to do with everything. Every book, every song, every movie, everything. Where is God in that? And if God's not in it, we don't want to be in it. Are you with me? But you see, the straight testimony, most people are not going to go up to that. Most people are going to continue to make excuses, make reasons, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing right with that." it is so important that we be willing not only to sing the song, but to do the act. The song says, I surrender all. All to him I freely give. Friends of mine, most people cannot from their hearts sing that song. Most people would really, if they're going to do it seriously and correctly, they'd have to sing something like, I surrender 25%. I surrender 52%. Yes. Amen. Really now, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, and that's what we've got to be. I remember very clearly when I first came to the Lord, and I know I'm supposed to confess my sins, and I asked God, God, why do you want me to confess my sins? You know everything. He knows everything we've done. Why do you want me to bring up that garbage, that filth, that trash that I'm trying to forget? I don't even want to think about it, let alone talk to you about it. Why do you want me to confess my sins, my shortcomings? It's really M-E-S-S. Why do you want me to confess my mess? The M, mistakes. E, errors. S, sins. S, shortcoming. It's all a mess. And I heard the still small voice say to me very clearly, until you are honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anyone else. Say what you've done. Say what you've been. Admit it, confess it, and then tell me what do you want to be. But don't play games with yourself. Been a liar, said, Lord, I've been a liar. I've been a cheat. I've been a backbiter, a whoremonger, an adulterer, a fornicator. God, I've been all the things that's been unlike you. Once we really clean the heart and pour it out there to him without trying to placate him, without trying to make it all pretty and nice. No, he sees right through all of that. He's looking right down deep in the heart. And he tells you and me in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. When we really admit that, Lord, I've been full of pride. I'm so vain, God. I'm always in the mirror. God, I'm so covetous, so greedy, always seeing how I can make another buck out of somebody. God, help me to be what you really want me to be. Now, family of God, until we come to him and lay it on the line, believe me, we're just playing games with ourselves. We're not really praying to him. We're just praying to ourselves. We're just going through the motions and acting like we're working with him. No. When we fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, and we're broken to smithereens, when he just breaks us down to our lowest common denominator, then he's able to start building us back up. See, God does not renovate. No, he doesn't come in and repair. He doesn't come in and start fixing up the building. No, he demolishes. He wipes it out. And then he lays a new foundation. And no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he lays that foundation, and then he starts to build the walls, and he puts the roof on, and he does it all from the ground up. We don't bring him anything. I've heard people say things like, well, when God gets me, he's really going to have something. Yeah, he's going to have a bunch of junk. That's what he's going to have. When God gets me, I'm going to be able to do this for him. And this. God doesn't want you to do anything for him. He wants to do everything for you and through you. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's all about him. There are some people who actually think they have some talents and gifts that they gave themselves. Whatever talent you have, whatever gift you've got, whatever you've got that you think you've got going for yourself, you didn't give it to you. Every penny you have, God gave it to you. Any intelligence that you've got, the maker of your brain gave it to you. He's the one that programmed your computer before you were born, that gave you whatever talents and gifts you have. And if you've got any sense at all, you will say, thank you, Jesus. There are actually those who think that they have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. Oh, yes, I did it. I'm a self-made millionaire. You're a self-made nothing. And I'm serious. Did you make your heart beat? Do you make your lungs work? How do you figure you're any kind of self-made? There's no such thing as self-made. There's God-made. That's all it is. All of us. Gonna miss you guys. Yeah. Praise be to God. And tonight, if you just give me a few moments, we'll get to the sermon in a few minutes. But you didn't think we were in the sermon yet, did you? You know, the Holy Spirit has never done with me before what he did this morning. Who would dare try to cover the whole book of Revelation? And it was like, so what does that say about you? Why does the Holy Spirit say, give them the whole book of Revelation? That's unheard of. There must be a lot of hungering and thirsting here, and he's determined to see to it that you've got food sufficient for the need. Praise God. Family of God, we don't have much longer. We really, I'm serious, we really don't. We don't have much longer. And we're told that the final events will be rapid ones. The Bible says that the Lord is going to cut his work short in righteousness. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out thing here. When it starts to fall, it's going to be just like the person hits that first domino, and they all go, you've seen the dominoes fall. That's the way it's going to be. And once again, you don't prepare for the storm during the storm. It will be too late then. How many will then be without a shelter? You don't want to be one of the foolish virgins that when it happens, you find you have no oil in your lamp. And then you're running to someone else to, hey, help me. They're doing everything they can to keep their head above water. I would encourage you tonight, make your calling and your election sure. It's a simple process. Every day, talk to Jesus. I mean, really converse with him. Not the little mamby-pamby prayers that you just say whatever. You give him that two-minute prayer and you want that million-dollar blessing. No, really pour your heart out to him. Ask him, God, who am I? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Please, Lord, speak to me. There's no doubt if we pray a real prayer, we'll get a real answer. But as long as we're trying to placate the Lord and tell him what we think he wants to hear, can you imagine talking to the supreme sovereign of the universe, the one who tells the moon, run around the earth until I tell you to stop? He tells the earth, run around the sun and you won't get tired because I'll give you your energy. What is it to really converse with him? We're way out of our league. But if we're wise, we will humble ourselves. And in due time, he will exalt us. He will give us the mind of Christ. For it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He wouldn't say it if it couldn't happen. The mind is coming. The mind of Christ is coming. It doesn't come all at once. It comes bit by bit. But one of these days you'll wake up and there'll be a clarity of thought. Everything will make sense. You'll look at it and say, wow, that's it. I got it. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And then do everything in your power never to lose it again. Tonight's brief message. is entitled Continue. To be continued. Before we go to the good book, won't you bow with us for prayer, please? Father God, we thank you and we praise you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord God, tonight we have come once again asking, is there any word from the Lord? And we know you do have a word for us. And as we go to your holy book tonight, we ask in the holy name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will be the unseen teacher in all that's done and said. And Lord, do be with Kevin and Ray's friend that he mentioned. Please, dear God, send healing into his body. Dear Lord, you do all things well. And in your time, you make all things beautiful. We thank you for what you've done this week. May it never, ever stop. Now, Father, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. And when it's all said and done tonight, if there be any glory, then let it all go to Calvary. For that's where all the glory comes from. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, we do pray. Let the people of God say, amen and amen. The book of St. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. St. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. The Bible says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Friends of mine, God never asks a question for information purposes. He is not asking Philip so Philip can inform him. God asks the question to see if we know the answer. The very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, and God came walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and he says, Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where Adam was. He was really saying, Adam, do you know where you are? Do you know you're lost? So when he asked Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He already has a plan. He's testing Philip. Not for his purpose, but for Philip's purpose. It goes on to say in verse 6, and this he said to prove him, to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. It's not enough for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I can imagine some of the other disciples saying, what are you talking about? 2 fish, 5, there's 5,000 men here. Why are you even making a suggestion like this? You see, we're told all you need is a little faith. Don't need much, just mustard seed faith. There's a little boy here. He's got 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. And it says here in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Hopefully if the men sit down, the women will follow suit, and so will the children. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks unto God, of course, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. After everybody had ate and they were filled, they pick up, it says in verse 13, they picked up 12 baskets of fragments was left over. Now something happens to the audience. The crowd now starts to put it together. They start thinking, wow, if this guy was king, it's all over. If he was king and our soldiers get injured, he can heal them. If our soldiers get killed, he can raise them from the dead. If this guy was king, we'd always have enough food to eat. We'd have everything we need. We'd have a walking hospital with us. We'd have a walking Safeway or whatever kind of store. So they decide they're going to make Jesus king. They're going to force him to be king. The Bible says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone. Now, friends of mine, this is so interesting. Jesus did not want to be king of this world in its current condition. Notice the same book, John chapter 6, look at verse 48. Jesus says, I am the what? I am the bread of life. He's starting to turn the mind now. They had eaten the physical bread. They had eaten the fish. But now Jesus is trying to take them to another level. Verse 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of, for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, started to argue among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus is taking them into the spiritual arena now. They didn't want to go into the spiritual arena. They wanted to stay in the physical arena. People today don't want to go in the spiritual arena. You see, what the Jews wanted was a king that would come in and defeat the Romans and then put them back where they were in the time of King David and King Solomon. They wanted to have the old glory days. They wanted all their bills to be paid. They wanted to be top dog. They did not want the spiritual kingdom. I'm sad to say there are many in churches today, that's all they want with God too. God, just pay my bills. Just solve my problems. Don't talk to me about any spiritual kingdom here. Just make sure I have my boat so when I go out, I can do my water skiing. Just make sure I'm taken care of. Are you with me? Most people do not want the kingdom that Jesus Christ is offering. They want the same thing these people want. They want him to take two little fishes and five loaves of bread and feed them and clothe them and shelter them. But they don't want what he's offering. Christ says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they're starting to think to themselves, what is he talking about? And they say, down in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand? What's he talking about? We're not cannibals. We can't eat his flesh and drink his blood. So Jesus comes right to the point and tells them what he's talking about in verse 63. He says in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Get this, family. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Jesus says the words, they are spirit and they are life. I'm not talking about you eating my physical flesh or drink my physical blood. I'm talking about you eating this. This is his flesh. This is his blood. He says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalms 119 verse 11, the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You will not have both. You will either let the Bible go or you will let sin go. They cannot coexist together. One has to go. When Jesus lays this on the line and he lets them know, we're not talking about a physical kingdom here, many of the people start to leave. Notice verse 66. That's an interesting verse. We're in chapter 6, verse 66. 666. Very appropriate what happens. It says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When they understood the real deal, that he is not going to put us where King David had us and where King Solomon had us. He is not going to make us talk top dog. He is not going to defeat the Romans. Oh, we don't need this guy. No. We don't want the pie in the sky. We want the pie right now. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you leave me too? And what he says to them, he says to us today. Once you know what it's really all about, will you leave also? We have the same test they had. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? If we leave you, where do we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So where do we go when we leave Jesus? It's all downhill if we leave Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 37. John 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. No matter how much he did. And John 12, you know, chapter 11, the chapter before, that's where he raises Lazarus from the dead. And the Jews had this belief that once a person was dead, maybe you could bring him back to life, but not after 4 days. After 4 days, the body decomposes. It starts to break down, so you can't bring it back. So Jesus intentionally allowed Lazarus to be dead for 4 days so he could show them that he had the power of the Creator. That no matter how many miracles he did, they still didn't believe on him. But some did. Notice chapter 8, same book, John 8. Beginning at verse 31, John 8, 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then you are my true disciples. Then you're my disciples for real. If you continue. When the evangelist is gone, when the revivalist is gone, when you have no pastor, if you continue in my word, if you're in my word when nobody's watching, when it's just you and me, when you've got that leisure time and you turn the television off and you go into the room all by yourself and you hold out the Bible and say, God, speak to me. If you continue in my word, says Jesus, then are you my disciples indeed. And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what's the flip side of the coin? The flip side of the coin is, if you don't continue in my word, then you're not really my disciples, and you won't know the truth, and I won't set you free. Is that not it? So it's at all of our doorsteps. He is not talking to one or two of us. He's talking to the whole human race. And he's speaking to us individually. If you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. But if you don't continue in my word, if you stop, then you're not really my disciples. You won't really know the truth and you won't be set free. This is so interesting because once again, Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is saying, if you don't continue to work, you're really not going to know me. You may have an idea about me. You might know I was Mary's baby and that I was born in Bethlehem. You might know I grew up in Nazareth, but you really don't know me. He's saying the only way you can really know me is you've got to spend a lot of time right here. If you continue in my word, the message to be continued. Just because we finish the revival tonight, it does not have to end. It is to be continued. Now, here's the joy in my heart tonight. I know it will be continued by some of you. I wish it would be all of you. Now, I don't know specifically, I don't know particularly who it is, but somebody is going to continue. Because his word says that in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that his, let's go there. You've got to see this. Isaiah 55. It's a beautiful verse. We'll actually start at verse 8 and get down to 11. Isaiah 55, verse 8. The Bible says, God is speaking here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow cometh down from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be. Pay close attention to this, please, for here is a spiritual secret. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, that is my word, shall not return unto me void, but it, his word, shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You need to remember, family of God, the Bible is the transforming agency that God uses to make us like Jesus. The Bible, we don't just read the Bible reads us. You remember what it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6? Go there, please. Ephesians 6, one verse. Ephesians 6, verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? Which is what? Which is the word of God. The sword of the Holy Spirit is the word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit uses. You might remember in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and in the book of Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was doing hand-to-hand combat with the devil, he responded three times with the same response. It is written. When the devil tells him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for he'll give his angels charge over thee. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And of course, the third time, when the devil finally reveals what he really wanted, says, if you bow down and worship me, all the world I will give you. And Jesus responds once again, it is written, man, we shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall we worship. Jesus' weapon was the Bible. The Bible. We need to get to the point, friends of mine, where everything that comes out of our mouths is Bible. The most powerful prayer you can pray, get this, the most powerful prayer you can pray is to pray God's word back to him. That's it. God, you promised in Romans 8:28 that you work all things together for good to them that love you. I love you, Lord. Now, Lord, I'm expecting you to work this situation together for good. God, you promised in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, God, I'm expecting you to strengthen me. God, you promised me in Philippians 4:19 that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Now, God, I'm expecting you to honor your word and supply my needs. The most powerful prayers is when we pray God's word back to him humbly. We don't come demanding. God, you got to do this. No, he doesn't. Family of God, to be continued. I have much more for you tonight, but I'm going to leave it there. I'll give you a couple of more scriptures. Daniel 6, verses 16 and 20. Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, when Daniel was being put in the lion's den. Notice what it says. You're still looking in your Bibles. Maybe I'll go a little longer. Okay. You're a hungry group of people here. Daniel 6, verse 16. Daniel is going into the lion's den. Notice what the king says in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest, what? Continually, he will deliver thee. Now, we've got a pagan, we've got a Gentile telling Daniel, the God you serve, continually, he's going to deliver you. Verse 20, notice also the next morning. And when he, that is King Darius, came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually? Is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Family of God, the Lord does not want a part-time love affair. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want you just on Sabbath. God wants you 7/24. And that's what he's giving us. He wants to be with us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He doesn't want any time that we're not with him. You see, God loves us. And you see, when you really love someone, you want to be with them all the time. This is not, oh yeah, I love you, I'll see you again next week. What? And don't even call during the week? God loves us, and he wants us to reciprocate. He wants us to give that love back to him that he's giving to us. In the book of Psalms 34, verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. I was going to stop, but you kept going in the Bible. It's all your fault. Psalms 34, verse 1. Notice what the psalmist says, and we should say it as well. I will bless the Lord how often? At all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. No matter what happens, I'm going to praise God. You remember we looked at Paul and Silas at midnight. They had been whipped and they were there singing praises to God in prison after they had been whipped. No matter what comes to your life, family, you've got to have that habit. Praise God. God is good. You can be out there working on a roof. You're hammering away and you hit your thumb. Ooh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that the thumb didn't come off. There's always something to be grateful for. We must train our minds. We must train ourselves to just praise him no matter what. Why? Because the problem is never God. If we go outside and we find there's a flat tire, praise God. There must be a blessing. Start looking around the car. Might be some money on the ground. God is good. We've got to understand that he works it all together for good. We've got to get in this mode. God is good all the and all the time. So we're going to praise him all the time. Your husband gets to arguing with you or your wife gets to argue. Praise God, he's talking to me. Thank you, Jesus. He may not be saying what I want to hear, but at least he's saying something. Find the blessing. There's a blessing in it. God is good all the time. Family of God, just continue. That's all. Someone has said, a winner never quits. And a quitter never wins. We can't stop. We've got to keep going on and on. What's that commercial on television? It takes a licking and it keeps on ticking. So no matter what happens to you, continue to fight the good fight of faith. And when God comes, he'll give us all a crown of life. God bless you. Pastor, oh, special music. Thank you.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes, make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you are stronger.
Impossible is not a word. Beautiful song. Perfect for the message. Yes. Broken hearts made new again. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Praise Him. Family, I just want to pray with you and for you this last night. Just bow your heads with us if you will. Precious Father in heaven, We thank you. We praise you. We love you. We need you. Please continue to work on us, work in us, and work through us until we will be just like Jesus. We know you won't give up, for thou art the potter, and we are the clay. Sculptor our characters. Make them the kind of character that will bring the maximum glory to thy holy name. Father, tonight I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless this church in a signal way. Cause this light on the hill to shine brighter and brighter. May men, women, boys, and girls all come to the understanding that this church is where Jesus lives, where Jesus blesses, where Jesus heals, where Jesus saves souls. Bless our pastor, bless the church board, bless every department in the church, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Be with the visitors that find their way to this church, and may they fall so deeply in love with Jesus that they will not leave. Continue to bless. Keep us all in the right hand of your righteousness, for we cannot keep ourselves. And when you come again, please take us all home to live with you forever. For we ask it all, believing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, family. Thank you.
If your faith has been strengthened this week, say amen.
Amen.
If you have received a blessing this week, say amen. The walls of Jericho did not fall just because of, you know, some, like, I've read a million people screaming caused this resonation that began to crack the walls. The walls of Jericho fell because people of God had faith. And when they screamed, the angels pushed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not burn because they were wearing fire-retardant clothing. They did not burn because they were wearing Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith is what's going to get us through. I want to do something this evening. I want to do something that probably Pastor James is going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. But I'm going to do it anyway. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians. He's writing. And he has a request. Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. You know, I know, that the devil sees in you this big target, because you are a man of God that's preaching the word. And if he could throw a dart where it counts, he will try to do that. And so this evening, I wanted to pray for you. And I wanted you to come up here. I brought this chair for you so you could sit here. Right over here, Pastor James. I want to have prayer for you. But I want our leadership here at Valley View to come up. I want all the elders to come up. We're going to place our hands on Pastor James Robbins this evening. On all the elders, that includes you, Monty. You may not be an acting elder right now. And I want any elder out there now, if you have been an elder that has been ordained, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, why don't you come up to? Let's place our hands. Just come around him. I want you just to surround him. Just surround him. Yeah. Now, I want each one of you, although you cannot put your hands on him, why don't you come up and place the hand on the shoulder of somebody that's close? If you want, we want to send Pastor James with the blessing of the Lord. But we want the whole congregation to do that. Just place your hand on the shoulder of somebody that's placing the hand on. Yes. We have received a blessing this week. And praise the Lord for Pastor James. We need to be praying for each other. And so I'm going to ask if we could bow our heads and let's pray. Father, this evening, we first of all want to thank you for what you have done this week in our hearts. We want to thank you for what you have done here for our church. I want to thank you also for those that have come from different churches that have received the blessing of the Word of God. And Father, I just ask that we may continue that which the Spirit has started in our hearts. But Father, this evening I want to pray specifically for Pastor James. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to use him in a mighty way. I want to pray that wherever he goes, that your Holy Spirit may be with him, that the protecting angels may be with him. Because I know that when he's traveling, the devil is there. And he's always trying to find ways to cut short the life of great men that are doing your work. So I pray that as he leaves tomorrow, as he heads home, that your Holy Spirit, that your protecting angels may be with him. Father, I pray that every other church that he gets invited to, that as he preaches the Word of God, that they too may be ignited with the love of the Word of God, the love for Jesus, so that this chain reaction may continue throughout Oregon, throughout the North Pacific, throughout the United States, throughout every continent, throughout the whole world. Father, I also want to pray for his daughter. I know that this is very dear, the situation is very dear to him, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit may continue to work on her heart. That the Holy Spirit may continue to draw her. That she may realize that in order to find herself, she must first find Jesus. And so I pray for her. Father, I pray for his wife. I pray that the Holy Spirit may bless her ministry. And I pray that child that they're caring for, that you may continue to keep that child safe. I know you have placed that child in the right home to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. And so I pray that as this child grows, that this child may also learn to love you and to serve you. And so all of us here as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray for our brother, our pastor James, that the Holy Spirit may continue to empower him. It is our prayer this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.